series for this year. And the title of my message is The Lord of All Bestows Riches on All Who Call. The Lord of All, everybody say the Lord of All, bestows riches on all who call. So when he's the Lord of all, he's got riches, and those riches are for who? All who call. And that's taken out of Romans. But before we get to Romans, I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 2, and I want us to talk about the story of Jesus. And just kind of following up with what Mary Grace said, what's amazing about the Word of God is no matter what part of Jesus' life you look at, it always proclaims his lordship. So, and you're going to see this, his lordship is seen when he's a baby. His lordship is his, and you can even see aspects of the cross in his birth because of who he is. And so the gospel is powerful because it is, the gospel is the salvation of God for those who believe, you know. And so that story of Jesus coming to earth has power to it because it proclaims the truth about who Jesus is. So we're going to look at the story in Matthew chapter 2 about the coming of the wise men. And he was born in Bethlehem in Judea in days of Herod the king. So everybody say the king. So right now, Matthew is saying we have an issue here. The issue is, who is the king? That word king pops out to me because that's the topic of what we're going to see. And that's immediately the topic of the birth of Christ. You'll see this right here because it says here, these wise men came to Herod, the king, and said, who is born king of the Jews? Who is born king? So in the very beginning of the story of Jesus, you have a declaration of the king of the Lord, of the Lords, the Lord, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, King Jesus. Right off the bat, he's a baby and he's a king. Who is he that was born king? King. Amen. So right off the bat, King of the Jews, why? What kind of testimony was there to his kingship? The star. Something in the heavens declared the glory of God. Psalm 19, what? The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. And so here was the heavens declaring the glory of God by the King Jesus being born. Now that's pretty serious. That's intense. We see how the angels in the heavens declared the glory of God in the book of Luke. But here in Matthew, we see a star proclaiming the glory of God in the birth of Christ. And we talked about, and I just want to make sure you know, we talked about how Hanukkah, the festival of lights, how these lights were celebrated later on, right before Jesus was born. And by the way, the menorah of Hanukkah has 9 lights because God provided the oil for 8 days and the middle light. So actually it had 2 extra. Hanukkah menorah has 2 extra on there. This has 7. This is the one in the temple. So the one for Hanukkah has 2 extra. Why? Because Hanukkah was celebrated for 8 days because God provided oil for 8 days. Amen? So there was a miracle that took place there, but here is a miracle of the light in the heavens that was something that got people's attention, and these wise men came, and they knew he was born king of the Jews. And what was their response to their kingship? What was their response? What did they want to do when they found out who was the king? Is we've come to worship him. That's intense. Do Americans think that way? No. When you think of a king, you don't think of coming to worship the king. you know, the king is just some guy in a medieval play or something like that. But for them, in their day, proclaiming someone as king called for worship. Why? Because the heavens declared the glory of God. It wasn't just any king. It was the king of the Jews. Okay, that was prophesied in the word of God that there was going to be one born, the son of David, the Lord. Amen? Christ our Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you. All right, then when Herod the king, remember, Herod the king, see, the kingship theme is running in this chapter. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Who is this king of glory? Who is this king of glory? They're asking the question. And so then they were troubled, and he got all the chief priests and the scribes. They were all leaders. So you're talking about people of authority trying to figure out what is being said because some people came from afar to tell them what God was doing. Wow. This is amazing. Okay? And it says, they inquired where the Messiah was to be born. The word Christ is the word Messiah, Mashiach in Hebrew. Where is this Mashiach? The Christos in Greek. They told him in Bethlehem in Judea, for it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers, the kings, the leaders, the kingdom. From you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So Herod is like, oh, I'm in trouble. That's exactly right. Right? So he assembles the wise men, some of them secretly, and got from them when the star appeared, which is pretty cool. I wish they'd said when, you know, exactly, but they didn't. But he found out, when did that star appear? And then he sent them to Bethlehem saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. And that lion dog. He was a lion dog, wasn't he? Right? Amen. And it says, after listening to the king. There's that word again. What word? King. See? This is about kingship. And when they went their way, the star that they had seen it when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child. So you've got this contrast between the king and the child. And like I said, what Mary Grace said, what is this about a child? You know what I'm saying? What is this about stuff and Christmas and kids? Why? It's not about the child. Well, it is, but it's about the king. That's what it's about. Behold your king. Woo! And they saw a child. But what did they do? They came to worship him. And how did they worship the king? How did they do it? Well, first of all, they were happy because they knew where to find him. So they had this joy and this happiness that came from the Lord. They said, we have found what we are looking for. Amen. Every day, I'm looking for the king, by the way. And I get happy when I find it because every day God's got something for me to find. Come on now. There's something about Jesus you can always find every single day. The moment you open up your word, the moment you begin to open up your mouth and pray, you get your journal out, sister. You get your journal out and you write it down. What treasure have I found today from the king? Amen? And you write it down. And it says, they fell down. They saw the child. There's a contrast, king and child. They saw the child with his mother. And what did they do? They knew that even though their eyes, their natural eyes, saw a child, their spiritual ears told them it was a king. And they did what they heard from the Lord. They went by the word of the Lord and by the scriptures, and they didn't go by their natural eyes. They gave treasures. They opened their treasures and offered him gifts. Three of them: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's why people think there were three wise men. All we know is there were three gifts. So we're assuming that only one guy had each gift. But it could have been more. Might have been more wise men. All we know is there was three gifts. All right? So there was three kinds of gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold has to do with what? Wealth and riches. Everybody say riches. You got gold, you got something valuable, right? You're well off. And frankincense and myrrh are not cheap either. Spices were very, very expensive. And we saw a very interesting movie or documentary on how Henry VIII, back in the days of England, how they celebrated Christmas for 12 days. And one thing that they always did, also it's the origin of why we eat certain kinds of food today, like mincemeat pie, which I really like. There's certain spices that they used at Christmas that they didn't use any other time because they were so expensive. It was very, very expensive to bring in cinnamon because they didn't have cinnamon in cold North. They had to bring it from the Middle East. They had certain other spices that they had to import from a long distance, so they were very expensive. Then that's where some of the roots of our Christmas meals and things that we have, where they used spices that were very expensive. And so what the king did is he created this gigantic feast, and he made so much food, and he ate maybe just a little bit of it, and then he gave the rest away to the people. Yes, he did. There were some other things. Here's what I'm saying. This is the thing. He did it because he was a king. And it wasn't because of his character necessarily. You see what I'm saying? But he did it because that's what kings do. Kings give away riches. When a king has a meal, he always gives to the poor. And that's what King Henry VIII did. He made this humongous feast. No way anybody could eat it. And I got news for you. My kitchen, I don't know if your kitchen's like my kitchen, but we were blessed with goodies over Christmas. And I'm very grateful to everybody who blessed us. Why? So my kitchen is still full of goodies. And Abner wants us to fast next week. And I'm thinking, how can I fast next week when I'm looking at all this good stuff? Because I've got boxes of cookies and cakes and, you know what I mean? Pie, mince pie. I've got that stuff, and I can't eat it all on the one day, right? You can't eat it all. So what happens? You have this abundance of wealth and giving and gift giving. Why? Because the king's house is a place of riches and wealth, and it's in his heart to give it. It's in his heart to give it. And likewise, when the wise men came, they opened up their treasures and offered him gifts. They had gifts to give. And one thing I learned about King Henry VIII, another godly aspect of Henry VIII, sorry, Tim, but it's true. Listen to this. This is the truth. King Henry VIII on Christmas gave gifts to everybody. And he had a list of everyone that he gave. He wrote it. They pulled out a copy of it. It's still in the archives there in England. And they pulled out a copy of it. And that year he lists every single person he gave a gift to and how much he gave. Now, Pastor Ronnie, I'm going to put you on the spot. He also kept a list of people who gave gifts to him. Guess what happened to him? Did he give more or did he receive more than he gave? Pastor Ronnie, what do you think? What's the biblical principle, bro? Absolutely. Absolutely. That king received more in gifts than he gave. And the people that were doing the documentary didn't really understand the Bible behind it. Because when you become a king, you become a giver. And when you give, you receive more than you could possibly give. That is a kingly kingdom of God principle that God wants us to live by more than ever before. You can't outgive the king. You hear what I'm saying? You got to understand me on this, because this is what they did. They came to worship the king, and they worshiped the king and honored the king by giving gifts, and they received a blessing. They received a blessing. We don't have it recorded here, but in every situation, you get more than you give. You get more. Now, notice, not all the gifts were gold. Not all the gifts were gold. And that's what happens when people stumble over the wealth of the kingdom of God, is that they just narrow the concept of wealth to gold. But your wealth is more than your gold. You've got some frankincense in you to give. And you got some myrrh in you to give. I wonder what that's all about, Pastor John. I have an idea what it is, but I'm not going to tell you. Think about what your frankincense and gold is, because sometimes God has things for you to give other than gold. Praise God. Aren't you glad that you can give him more? First of all, you can give him your praise, can't you? Wasn't frankincense used on the altar of worship? It had to be set on fire, though. It was no good if it wasn't on fire. And I know Marianne, I love it when she did. She sets off this little incense thing with frankincense. We actually burn frankincense around Christmas time, and it's powerful. It is a powerful fragrance. It's very sweet. But when you light that little frankincense candle, it fills the house. And frankincense is the aroma of the worship in the temple. So they offered something in them that had to be set on fire. And when Paul told Timothy to stir up the embers in you, I believe he was talking about the altar of worship in Timothy, because God's got a fire inside of you that's got to be stirred up sometime. And how many of you know God was stirring up the fire in this worship service this morning? He was stirring it up. And there was an aroma, there was a fragrance of worship that comes when the God puts his stick in there. Or actually, what they did is they put the frankincense in a censer and they swung it around in the air. And the breeze and the wind of God put that ember on fire and filled the house with the fragrance. I believe that we give more than just gold. So don't get hung up on gold. Gold is a part of the wealth of the kingdom, but it's not the only part of the wealth of the kingdom. Got it? You got to hear me on this. It's very, very important, because people get bad attitudes when you start talking about wealth. So, and myrrh is another thing. So I already told you what I said I wasn't going to say, but I'm going to move on, okay? You can guess. Maybe you think about what myrrh is all about. We'll talk about it later. Okay. Now, here's why. I want you to turn, we're going to look in the book of Romans, and we're going to see in the book of Romans about the power of the riches and the wealth of the kingdom of God. Because the word that we got here that I had to start off with is that the Lord of all gives riches on all who call. The Lord of all bestows wealth or riches on all who call. And so this is what we see shown by the wise men when they come to Jesus, the infant, because he was king, they bestowed upon him gifts. So now we're going to turn to Romans chapter 10. We're going to start with verse 5. And we're going to see in the book of Romans here in various places about the wealth of the kingdom of God and the nature of the lordship of Christ and the king. All right, so verse 5 of Romans chapter 10. So write that down or go to it right now and you can follow along with me in your word. For Moses Romans 10, verse 5, writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the gospel is right here. This is where he says it. The righteousness based on faith says, don't say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend to the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Okay, so don't say who in your heart, but say Jesus is Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart, right? Don't say who, say Jesus. But what does the Word of God say? What does the gospel say? We don't want to hear what the law says. We want to hear what the gospel says. And the reason why we're here is because of what the gospel says to you and me. I want to hear the gospel. You can get people quoting scripture to you, and they could be slinging law at you. I don't want to hear someone sling law at me. I want to hear the Word of God, and I want to hear the good news, the gospel. It says, the Word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith. When I say the word faith, I'm saying believing in Jesus. You can only have faith in one thing, and that's Jesus. It's faith in Jesus that gets you to heaven. You can put your faith in a lot of things, but it won't get you to heaven. And we're not talking about that kind of faith. We're talking about the faith that only is in Jesus. So it says the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your mouth, this is the word of faith. The word of faith is you confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's your word of faith. Your word of faith is Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the word. It's right. It's your word of faith in Him. And actually the ability to say that is come from Him too. You couldn't say it except by the Holy Ghost. So here you are saying, Jesus is Lord. This is the word of faith, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe, have faith in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. That's His story. Amen? This is what we celebrate on the birth of Christ. God raised Him from the dead. You will be saved. You will be Yeshua'd. Because the word salvation means Yeshua. So God wants to Jesus you really good. He wants to Jesus you all the way. He wants to save you. Okay? And you'll be saved. It says, for the heart one believes and is justified. And with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. Now here we go. This is where I think is a powerful scripture we need to see. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord, that's Jesus, is Lord of all. And what does this Lord do? Bestowing His riches. So when you put faith in Christ, you are releasing the riches of the kingdom of God in your life. Let me say that again. When you put your faith in Christ and you say Jesus is Lord, you are releasing the riches of the kingdom of God, because the king will begin to release His riches upon you. That's what kings do. That's what lords do. Lords give riches. Kings give riches. And the problem happens is, it says He's the same Lord of all. Why? Because He's given out riches. Now here's the thing. Too often we think of lordship as somebody like your boss telling you what to do all the time. If I say to you, ha ha ha, I'm Lord over you, you're thinking, uh-oh, that means I got to do everything He's got to, I'm just a big slave. And we think of slaves as poor, don't we? But that's not the kingdom of God. You serve Christ as a wealthy person. And that's how the whole lordship works in the kingdom. What did these wise men do? They gave him out of their treasures. Why? They were wealthy. They were rich. They gave because they were rich. They were able to get there because they were rich. You got to understand, you can't just get on a camel and hop over to Jerusalem, for wherever you are, without having some money. Right? So God used somebody who had resources. And the resources were the resources that God blessed them with. And as they gave, they received. Because you can never outgive God. If God could do it for that rascal Henry VIII, he can do it for you. You keep track of what you've given and how much you've been blessed, and you'll have the same thing happen to you. Praise God. Wow. So the kingdom of God bestows his riches on all who call on him. Everyone. It says all who call. That means you can have riches. You have riches bestowed on you. But we're thinking, wait a second. You just don't know my bank account, or you don't know where I'm living right now, or you don't know this, or you don't know that. And that's what happens. Well, what are you looking at? What were the wise men looking at when they gave them their treasures? Were they looking at someone who looked wealthy and powerful? Did the little baby Jesus have a crown on his head? No, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And I don't know if they went to the house to see him. So he was already in the house by that time. He wasn't still sitting in a manger, praise God. He was born and laid in there because they had no room. But they found a house. God provided a place. And they came to this place. And God used a star to bring them to him. Now, let me ask you a question. All right, we're going to apply this. You're going to get this. If God used a star to bring the wise men, to bring a treasure to Jesus, an infant, can't he get treasure to you? Can't he get you treasure? If you need it, can he bless you with his riches? I stood at a line one time. This is a long time ago. I still have the check. I kept it. It was a long time ago. I was standing in line going to a conference, and someone turns around to me and says, the Lord told me, he's a Chinese guy, turned around and told me, the Lord told me to give you $200. Wrote me a check, right like that. I was like, thank you, Jesus. God, total stranger. We can give testimony after testimony after testimony how God can bless you. What I'm trying to go for is the mindset that says that the king doesn't have riches to give you. Or for some reason you don't get it. He's rich, but you're not. Or that lordship means just do whatever God tells you to do. Just do it. And you'll make it to heaven. You know what I mean? If you just work really, really, really hard and you just do everything perfect, then maybe God will bless you. That's the attitude we hear all the time. It's back in the works. Like you're working for a boss, for a paycheck. I got news for you. The king don't do paychecks. He does gifts. And I got news for you. I don't know any boss that just does gifts. Okay? To them, the paycheck is very important. And they're going to do that paycheck right. Right? You got employees. You don't look at that check as a gift. No, they worked. It's not that mindset. But when a king wants to bless you with riches, it's all in the gift realm. It's all in the gift realm. And when you have lordship, when you come under that lordship, you are coming into a place of wealth. You are coming into a place of provision. It says, am I reading the Bible here right? It says he bestows his riches on all who call upon him. So the kingdom of God is first and foremost about wealth and riches and provision and blessing. Now, you don't believe me, Pastor. Okay, how about Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. What does it say? Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the wealth of the kingdom. Isn't that what it says, more or less? I mean, why would Jesus contrast the kingdom as the answer to poverty? If the kingdom was the answer to poverty. I'm sorry, you're poor, so I'm going to give you a kingdom. You're going to get the kingdom, so therefore that's going to answer your poverty. Because then it says, if you go to the next one, it says, blessed are the hungry, so they'll be filled. Isn't food the answer to hunger? Right? So what's the answer to poverty? The kingdom. Let me say it again. I don't know if you heard me. Amen, Reese. It says, blessed are the hungry, for they shall be filled, right? So food is the answer for hunger. What's the answer to poverty?
The kingdom.
See, the riches of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is the answer to poverty. It says, and here's the thing. Our poverty is not just poverty and gold, right? What were the gifts that were given? Not just gold. But there's poverty of spirit. Frankincense, maybe? Myrrh? You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So expand your definition of wealth. Don't narrow it down. Thank you. I heard a right there. I heard amen on that. Thank you. We need the Barry Hussey anointing here in a greater level. Amen. Amen. Let's believe God, right? Come on. The answer to poverty is the kingdom. The answer to hunger is filling. Filling. He didn't say food. Filling. Where do we hear that word filling in the gospel? Maybe how about being filled with the Holy Ghost? Or that Jesus said, the water that I shall give him shall be in him. You see the power of the kingdom of God? And we're thinking, oh, Lord, I'm going to make Jesus wants to be Lord of your life. You've got to just be nothing and you've just got to give it all. And you just do whatever he says and just crawl on the ground and grovel. No, that's not what it's all about. Repentance. Repentance comes from the kindness of the Lord. Repentance comes from the kindness of the Lord. We're going to see that scripture. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads you to the repentance. And isn't charity kindness? Yeah. And how can you have charity unless you have wealth? How can you give unless you're rich? It comes by his kindness. And I'm not saying this. You got to understand me. It is not all about gold. Gold is one of the elements. And I'm going to keep saying it to you because people, I already know I'm not going to be able to finish this today. But let's go back now. Let's go on, okay? Oh, here, listen to this. Write this down. God's authority is manifest in his generosity. First. God's authority is manifest in his generosity, first and foremost. We see authority as not generosity. We see authority as the cop getting ready to pull you over for speeding. Or the cop arresting you for doing, robbing a bank. We see authority that way, that a policeman's out there to catch you doing something wrong. That's not the definition of authority in government. The number one definition of authority is the generosity of the kingdom of God. That's what God wants us to understand. It's the generosity of the Lord that expresses his authority. So when he says something by his word, it happens Because he's got the resources to make it happen. Therefore, Jesus spoke with authority to what? To heal the sick. That's the riches of the kingdom. Right? Healing the sick. Raising the dead. Making provision for people in the desert that had nothing to eat. Blessed are the hungry, for they shall be filled. Jesus did it in the desert. They were there. And we've had situations, we've been places where we had a large crowd of people and the food just didn't run out. That's the riches of God's generosity, is providing food for people who are hungry. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment of another, you condemn yourself because you, the judge, practice the very same things. That is the mindset of a person who sees kingdom as a primarily an instrument of judgment. That's not what the kingdom of God is all about. The kingdom of God is not first and foremost about judging and hurting people and throwing people down. God, you know, come on, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he wanted to throw them all to hell. That's not what it's all about. The authority of the kingdom of God is not about judging. It says that whosoever believes on, this is the scripture I got saved in, should not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is the gift of God. It's the riches of the kingdom. Everlasting life. That means you don't die. You live. The sword is not against you. God is not judging you. God is not judging you all the time. God is not out to get you. Every little mistake, he's not trying to say gotcha. When God does surprise, it's because he's blessing you, not because he's judging you. I'll never forget that. It was Jerry Savelle's word. The word surprise, gotcha, whatever you want to say it, was always a blessing that God had for him. And God doesn't want to give you a gotcha to try to get you in trouble or try to hurt you. But there's that mentality of a religious spirit that tries to keep you from expecting the good things of God. And you're seeing God as the one who is sitting there on the side of the road with a radar ready to catch you if you're 1 mile an hour over the speed limit. You see what I'm saying? He's just not, that is not his thing. Though he will judge the earth, and he, you know, and I'm saying that, you know, judgment will come. But we got to get this point first. We got to see that it's not in God's heart for you to be this way because God isn't that way. God wants you to be like him, right? And that's not being like him, right? Don't, he says, don't judge because God doesn't want to judge you. He wants to save you. He loves you. Okay, let's move on. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice and thus such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge? Again, wrong concept of the kingdom. Who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume? There it is. It's when people presume the riches of his kindness, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. God's kindness. God wants to win you with his kindness. Now, sometimes his kindness can come with a stick. Maybe a smack. Maybe a nudge. Whatever. But he wants you to understand it's that tough love. It's tough love. Not just tough. God says, come on, get back. You haven't been listening to me. So he has to hit you a little harder. But that's kindness, isn't it? Isn't if I was walking in front of a car that I didn't see on the road and God grabbed me and pulled me out of the way, wouldn't that be kindness? He'd be rough on me to do it, but it's kind, isn't it? Why? He's saving me. He's keeping me because God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. Okay? Praise God. Romans chapter 5. Let's go to Romans chapter 5 now. Okay, let's look at God's lordship as Him giving His wealth to you. God wants you to be wealthy, and when you come into His lordship, you are partaking of His riches. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Let's look at some aspects of God's wealth. Now the law came to increase. Romans 5, 20. Lord, the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. That's the kingdom, guys. So that as sin reigned in death, not the kingdom, grace also might reign through righteousness, the kingdom, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God gives us the wealth of eternal life. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. Okay, do you see grace reigning? You see that word reign, R-E-I-G-N? That means the kingship or lordship. Grace is the king in your life. Grace is your king. And that grace leads you to eternal life. That's the riches of the wealth of God. Romans 6, 22. And now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, okay, we're coming under His lordship, except the slaves of Jesus Christ are not poor but rich. Big difference. Okay, what does it have? It says the fruit you get. Wow. So by being a slave of Christ, by being under His lordship, we get the harvest. That's not like slavery happened in America. Nope, didn't happen that way. And it's not like working. You know what it'd be like? It'd be like you working at a job, and they give you a paycheck and then give you everything they sell, all their money that they get. In other words, they get the fruit. You get the fruit. Well, listen, the fruit is for the farmer, not for the worker. But in the kingdom of God, you get the fruit of the harvest. You get it. Whatever that fruit is, you get it. And what is the fruit? Holiness and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin, come on, say it with me, guys. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the riches of the kingdom. Eternal life. That means never dying. Never dying. That means when your body just decides not to work anymore, you don't die. You just get a new one. You just have to wait a little bit. Amen? The older you get, the more you appreciate that new body, right? Right? But it's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift of His lordship. It is not you doing everything perfectly, waiting for Him to spank you, hurt you. Okay. Okay. Ephesians 4, 7, and 8. When He ascended on high, it says, by grace was given to each one of us. That's the wealthiness of the kingdom. Grace was given to each one of us. Every individual here has the riches of God in the form of grace. And we call them gifts. What are they? It says He ascended on high. He led a host of captives. And He gave gifts to men. So what does this king do? What does this Lord do? Gives out gifts. He gives out gifts. That's the... You want Jesus to be your king, right? Yeah, how much more do you want Him to be your king now? Right? He's going to give you a lot of gifts. He's got gifts for you. Amen. You know, like I said, the more I go, the more I know... I'm telling you, the more I appreciate all the gifts that God has given me. I mean, much more than I used to when I was a kid. I mean, cards, the little cards, the notes, the little Happy New Year's from people, you know, just seeing people, hugs. These are gifts. I feel like I've been so blessed with so many gifts from people. Just amazing. Kindness, acts of kindness. Okay, it says, and then last but not least, Romans 12, 6, it says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. And that's where I want to close. I'm going to close with that. Why are we wealthy? Because God wants to use that wealth. That's why. That's why. He doesn't want us to be judgmental. Right? Because God isn't that way. God wants us to be forgiving. God wants us to be kind, because it's our kindness that's going to lead people to repentance. It's what led me to repentance. That's how I got saved. Now, God had to, he had to put some fear in me. It was necessary, because I was dumb. I was a teenager. Teenager, by definition, is smarter than everybody else. Am I right? In their own mind. It's true. I was the most brilliant person when I was 17 years old. I got dumber as I kept getting older, learned how much I didn't know. But then I knew everything. But God had to tell me. He said, John, you got to get serious about me. And it put some fear in me. Because it's easy to put people above God, you know. And that was my mistake. And God said, nope, don't do it. I said, okay, Lord. And then I got saved. And he started, what did he do? He bestowed on me the riches of his kingdom. That's what he did. He gave me his Holy Spirit. I'm 17 years old. Gave me a call in my life. I was like, what? You want me what? You said what? What? So I just started reading the Word of God. I just kept reading and reading and reading and reading. My mom thought I was crazy. She thought I was nuts. Because I just, that's what I did. I came home from school in the summertime, and I would just stay up in my room and read and write notebooks. I would write the scripture out by hand. We didn't have a laptop computer back then. I had a calculator, but no computer. I know it's ancient. You know what? Yeah, you've heard of those calculators? No, just kidding. Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, I just started writing the Word of God down. I just started reading and writing it. And I was like, why, Lord, why? What did you say to me? You said this. You said this. I'm going to serve you. And then God just started providing, 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 providing. And then he just gave me. He just gave me his Word. He gave me people to teach me. He gave me people to instruct me. He gave the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit began to happen in my life. I just immediately, the moment I got saved, I started getting the fruit of joy. Isn't the joy in the Lord, isn't that a fruit? I was getting joy. I wasn't getting stupid happy. I was smart happy now. I was happy because Jesus was in my heart. I got the joy of the Lord. And then the other things started happening. That fruit began to multiply. And the riches of his kindness came to me. And the riches of his kingdom became to me. And then God just started providing. He started providing. And then he said, we come to this church. And he says, go to Martinsville. I said, where's that? I just think, the fact that God started giving his riches and started blessing us, you know, he started blessing us with this place, this house and this property. And then just other times, mission trips. I mean, you know, just being able to, and I will talk about that later. I'm going to save that for another message. But he wants to create a culture of wealth and riches in the Spirit with God. He wants to create that atmosphere, because it's not just a one-time riches. It's not all just in the Spirit, guys. It's in everything. It's in everything. And I believe even in America, why America became so prosperous was because of the kingdom of God here. It was the way the kingdom was expressed. And we see it. The principles work. Like I said, if it worked with Henry VIII, that rascal, it's going to work with you and me. That because if you just are givers, God is going to give back to you. Because that's the nature of the kingdom. And I believe that God wants to rid his people of this poverty mindset about the kingdom. And this lordship that means you're just ground down in the ground and used and abused. It's a slavery mindset. It's a worldly mindset that you just use people and just don't even, just give them barely enough to eat. Come on, we see it in the world all around us. Just the bare minimum. You know, that's not God. And God's not that way with us. But when we serve him, we're blessed. We're ruling and reigning with him. We are, you know, what was it now? Was it the prodigal son? He said he came back to his father and he said, what? He says, make me as a servant. The father says, yeah, but he's also my son. And what did he do? He gave him the choice ring. Come on. Threw a big party. There was the riches and the wealth that welcomed him into the kingdom. And so his mindset was changed from working in a pigsty. Come on. That's the world. That's the slavery. That's that mindset. That's what your God does for you. Our God does not run a pigsty. He cast demon out of pigs. Or he set them into pigs. They jumped in the river. Whatever. But no, it's the Father's house. It's wealthy, it's lavish, it's beautiful, it's blessed. And it's not just gold. I advise you to buy from me gold tried in the fire. And eye salve for your eyes. Come on, it's healing, wealth. He said the Laodicean church, they were, what were they lazy? The Laodiceans, what? They were lukewarm. He said, buy gold tried in the fire. Get the right kind of gold. Get the salve for your eyes so you can really see the riches of the kingdom of God. So you can really recognize them and see who you are and who God is. Amen? Amen. So I want to encourage you with that. I'm praying for just a mindset here of this because, just because there's more. Okay? And I'll have more for you on this. Okay? I think I can do another one on this to kind of carry this further because I feel like it's something important for this coming year as well. Amen? God bless you guys. Let's give the Lord a praise. Amen.